right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. Someone a little different on stage today. It's your boy, Gabe Hurtado. And wanted to just say, hey, thank you, worship team. You guys did awesome. Love and appreciate you guys. Well, hey, I'm up here once again because our guest speaker happens to be a friend of mine. And you know, as you know, for those of you who know me well, I get really excited when there is somebody from my hometown in the house. And I got to know who they are. I got to hit them up. Also, shout out to the women's basketball team because they have a game against Santa Clara University December 6th in Santa Clara. So, yeah, give them some encouragement next time you see them. However, my friend who's here today, he basically knows some of the same, I think it's safe to say he knows some of the same people that Tony Hawk knows, okay? He was on his way to being a pro skateboarder, and God did something in his heart and began stirring something up in him, and he took a totally different journey in life. He was formerly the youth pastor at one of the largest, if not the largest, Asian church in California or the country? Country. In the country. Former pastor at All City Church in Portland, Oregon. And he has a story for you today. Please welcome my friend Kwok Nguyen.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. The Bible says to give honor where honor is due. So first of all, I just want my wife to stand up real quick. I need to give her some honor. Go ahead, stand up, please. And my daughter, my wife, Rosanna, my daughter, Jubilee. Jubilee, please stand up. Hopefully, she is a future Simpson College student, hopefully. And then also, thank you. And Natalie, thank you. You guys are doing, Natalie, right? I'm sorry. You guys are doing, gosh, what an awesome responsibility that you guys have. Gabe, I've known for a while. Natalie, I just met like an hour ago. But I got a good feeling about you. I can tell. I got that. No, I'm just kidding. No, but honestly, though, what a great, what great leaders, what great shepherds you guys have. And I just want to encourage you guys, if you need anything like prayer, just go to your leaders. They're here for you. If you need prayer, if you need someone to talk to, they are here. What? And I'm sure there's more leaders that I don't, those are the only two I know. So go to them or those that you know. Anyways, let me correct some stuff. I was just an average skateboarder. My wife now calls me a poser. So I was just an average skateboarder. I was hardcore, though. I was hardcore. That meant I slammed a lot, right? But I love skateboarding. I don't do it much anymore because, believe it or not, I turned 50 years old this year. Yeah. And so I do, I got sciatic nerve problems. It's no joke. I'm waiting to heal so I can skate. It's funny. The generation before me, when they would go through midlife crisis, what they would do is they would buy like nice cars, right? Like sports cars. My generation, we skate. That's what we do. When we go through midlife, we just skate. I was just at this skateboarding event in Orange County. It was a skateboarding ministry thing. And it's all sorts of skaters, but mostly middle-aged dudes in their 40s and 50s. And I remember we went skating. And when we went skating, and a lot of these skaters are pastors. All right? A lot of former professional skateboarders who are now pastors of churches. I don't know why skaters are turning into pastors. I think they just like danger or something. I don't know. And so we were all skating in this parking lot, these 40-year-old, 50s, some 60s, in their 60s, and the cops roll up. And the cops roll up and they're like, hey, we're going to give you guys a warning. If we come back and you guys are here still, tickets for everybody. And the cops left. And guess what these pastor skaters did? They kept skating. They kept skating, right? And so they kept skating. And then the cops, they begin to roll up again. Then all of a sudden these 40, 50, 60-year cops run. Ah! And we jumped in the car and took off. And the funny thing was these cops were like 25-year-old cops. Chasing these middle-aged skateboarders. And so And it felt good. It felt like that was my midlife crisis thing. I was even skating. I was just standing there hurt. Anyways, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I got some scriptures. I'll tell you some stories. We're going to read some scriptures and we'll be done. I did not grow up Christian at all. I grew up in a Buddhist household. I went to Catholic school, and then I became an atheist, because that's what happens when you grow up Buddhist and you go to Catholic school and you get all confused. And so I remember my best friend as a kid was Catholic, and we were playing horse in his front yard. You guys know horse, right, with the basketball? We were playing horse. And he takes the ball, and he goes, "I'm Catholic. We pray to saints." And he prays to a saint, and he throws it, and he makes it. And so I said, "Give me the ball." I said, "I'm Buddhist." True story. I said, "I'm Buddhist. We pray to our ancestors." And so I take the ball, and I close my eyes, and I said, "Grandfather, I know you don't know me because you died before I was born. But I am your grandson. Help me make this basket. Do not dishonor our family." And I threw the ball and I missed. And that is when I began to doubt Buddha. I was so Buddhist, and then I began to doubt. I listened to, you know how they have Christian rap? I listened to Buddhist rap. Ever heard of Buddha Quiff? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, sorry guys, I'm just kidding. That's not a real Christian. Don't like look at him. It's me, you know. Anyways, so that's when I began to, I became an atheist. I remember the day I became an atheist. I was just sitting there and I was thinking in my head, I said, "There is no God, there is no nothing, there is only me." I said, and it doesn't matter what I think, because no one knows what I'm thinking in my head. I can think whatever I want to think. I can do whatever I want to do. I can break any law. If I can break any law I want, as long as I don't get caught, there will be no consequences. I remember thinking that. And that's the day I stopped believing in anything. And I started just living however I wanted. And to make a long story short, on my prom night, I overdosed on drugs. I ended up in the hospital. I almost died. I got out of the hospital, and I remember I sat on the corner of my bed, and I prayed for the first time since I prayed to Grandfather. But this time, my prayer was, "I don't know who you are, but if you are real, I need you. If whoever you are," it was like I had this prayer, and I was throwing it into the cosmos, and if anybody was there, please catch it. And that was my prayer. And 2 days later, I met a pastor, and he led me to Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus that day. It was June 1st, 1993. And I've been saved ever since. That's actually super long story short, because actually, when I was overdosing, I talked to demons and heard flames of hell. Different story for maybe another day. Because I wanted to get to this scripture. I want to talk about, I know we're talking about seasons of life, and what a great topic. And sometimes one season, you're stuck in one season, and maybe it's because of something you did, or maybe it's because of your circumstances, you do not see the next season, or there's no hope for a future season. In fact, the Bible says this, it's in Acts chapter 2 maybe, and it says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the Bible says, young men shall see visions, and then it says old men shall dream dreams. Old men shall dream dreams. And the reason it says old men shall dream dreams is because when you're old like me, when you get a little older, you tend to look back more than you look to the future, right? You reminisce more than you dream. But the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will dream more than you reminisce. You will look like, "Oh, my future, what is..." And even as older men who have lived many seasons, you begin to look even in seasons beyond your life, right? And so, but what does that have to do with me? Because I know you're all young. Because I've been seeing a lot lately on the internet. And if it's on the internet, it has to be true. I've been seeing a lot lately on the internet about young people with no hope for their future. Young people who are just, you know, the way the country's going, the finance, it's so expensive. They see no hope. But can I tell you, when you give your life to God, no matter what season you're in, there is one constant in every season, and that constant is the love of Jesus Christ. That is the constant. That will never, ever change. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So no matter what season you are in, God is there. Right? Like I said, I've lived through many seasons to get to where I am now. I've held many titles to get to where I am now. Like, I've been called all sorts of things, bad things and good things, right? I've been pastor, I've been evangelist, I've been missionary. Can I tell you my favorite thing, though? Dad. I love it. That's my favorite thing, dad. And right now, I'm not even pastor anymore. I don't know what I'm doing up here. I quit. Like, 2 years ago, I quit. I'm not even in ministry anymore. I'm not qualified. No, I'm just kidding. I quit on purpose. I have a son who is, I'm his full-time caretaker. But can I tell you, even, what is it, Stevie Nicks? Children get older, right? Now I'm getting older too. I can't sing. That's not my gift. I had a prophet come up to me once. I had just led worship. And he says, your gift is not singing. It's preaching and teaching. I said, oh, you are. But things, your seasons will change. Your families change. Things change in life. Governments change. Whoever's in the White House changes. Jobs change. Everything is all constantly changing. But the constant that I have found in this, you change. You're not even the same. Remember 10 years ago when you had no hair on your face? I'm talking to the men. But the constant, God will always be there. And if you call out to him, he will always answer. Always. All right, let's go on. I'm going to read to you today out of John chapter 8, starting verse 2. John chapter 8. Starting verse 2 to 11. And the reason is because sometimes in a season, we don't think we can make it to the next season because things can seem hopeless. And sometimes maybe it's the things that you do, right? Maybe it's the things that you do and that you, because you messed up, you think, I can never move on. And we're going to read about someone who messed up big time. And so John chapter 8, starting verse 2, it says, early in the morning, he, being Jesus, came to the temple, all the people came to him. So he went to church, and all sorts of people surrounded him. And he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees, these were the religious leaders, brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. She was caught. It wasn't just rumors. They caught her in the act. In the middle of it, you know what I'm saying? They caught her in the act of adultery. They brought her to him. They said, teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. To stone, for some of you, I don't know if you just, some of you might not be familiar with biblical language. It doesn't mean stone. Like, let's get stoned. It means to throw a rock at until you die. All right? And you hit her in the head with a rock. All right? They're saying, you know, we're commanded to stone her, to throw rocks at her. What do you say? Now, here's the situation. This woman was caught. The Bible says she was caught in the act of adultery. But let's go deeper. What is it? What is adultery, right? Adultery is she was hooking up with a dude that was not her husband, all right? That's adultery. And the thing, she could have been married. She probably was married. This dude was married. She probably had kids. This dude had kids. So what did she do? She hooked up with someone that had kids, was married. She had kids. She was married. So she destroyed two families, right? She messed up her kids. Messed up her kids, messed up her husband, messed up this other guy's kids. And I don't know where the other guy is. I don't know why they didn't grab. He probably ran. He was fast. He ran away. I don't know. But this is what she did. But the funny thing is, in this scripture, in this portion of scripture, she is not the bad guy. In this portion of scripture, the bad guys are the ones who took her and brought her to Jesus and wanted to kill her. Wow, because can I be honest? If I was around, like if today and I find out someone did this, I would think they were the bad guy. I would be so, she deserved it, right? She deserved it. Look what she did. Look what this person did. Let's find where they work on the internet and let's post to their work that they should fire her. Let's get her fired. Let's ruin her life, right? So that's what they did because they brought her in the midst of everyone. They brought her in front of everyone and they wanted to cancel her. Now this canceled, they wanted to kill her, but you know what I'm saying? The law said that we should stone such women. Ugh, these types of women. So what do you say? This they said to test him that they may have some change or some charge to bring against him. The Bible says, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. So he bent down. They asked him a question. Jesus was so weird and awkward sometimes. I like him because I'm weird and awkward. My wife's always, you're so awkward. I'm like Christ. In the middle of a conversation, he just bends down and right? What does he do? The Bible doesn't say. I wish we know what he wrote. One day when we get to heaven, what were you writing? He's like, I still don't want to tell you. I was playing hangman with myself. You know what I'm saying? He bent down, he wrote with his finger, and they continued to ask him. He stood up and said to them, this is what he said. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more, he bent down and wrote on the ground. So he stands up, he says this thing, and then he gets back down. He's like, what up? Let him who has no sin be the first. So he wasn't saying, for years, I thought, if you don't have sin, then throw the stone. If you didn't sin, you can throw the stone. But what he was actually saying was, if there's someone among you that has never sinned, they can throw the stone, and then the rest of the sinners afterwards can throw the stone. That's what he was saying. Let him who is without sin among you cast the first stone, and then everyone else can kill her. The Bible says, but when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. That word condemn there means to punish for something that you did. He's saying, I'm not going to punish you for what you did. He says, from now on, sin no more. All right, so let's go back a little bit. He says, let him who has no sin throw the first stone. Can I tell you, there was one guy there that never sinned. It was Jesus. Jesus could have been like, let me start this. Picked up the stone and threw it at her, and it would have been legal. And then everyone else could have jumped in. But Jesus chose not to punish. He says, neither do I. Because this point in your life, it looks like you have no future because you have been exposed for all to see who you are. And some will say such women do not deserve a future, but Jesus says, I will not punish you. In fact, he says, from now on, Go and sin no more. What does from now on mean? From now on mean from this new season of your life, go and sin no more. He's saying, I'm opening a new season for your life, but in this season, the old ways will not work. Go and sin no more. When I was, in the 80s, when I was in elementary school, and middle school. I remember one day I was watching the Cosby Show, right? This was before we knew. I was watching the Cosby Show, and because it was funny. It was funny, I like comedy. And my mom, right, this is the day I found out my mom was racist. My mom goes, "Why you watch black show?" This is what she said. I said, "Oh, snap. My mom's racist." I said, "Because I like it. It's funny." Maybe she wasn't racist. Maybe she just knew. She had discernment, right? No, she was racist. She was a racist. Now, being, you know, in elementary, I didn't have much choice. Junior high, I didn't have much choice. But I could have been like, you know what? Forget you, Mom. You're racist. I cut you off, and I'm exposing you. I'm never, you know, I cut off. I'm not coming home for Thanksgiving. Well, I had to. I was in elementary. I had to be home for Thanksgiving. But, you know, I cut you never again, Mother, you racist. Anyways, many years later, in the 90s, a movie came out called Rush Hour. I don't know if you guys have seen Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3, starring Jackie Chan and who is it? Chris Tucker. Have you guys seen that? Am I too old? Are these references? They used to work. I don't know. I don't know if my references work anymore. I come home from Bible college. I'm in my 20s now. I come home from Bible college, and my mom is watching Rush Hour, and she's like, "Oh, I love that Chris Tucker. He's so funny with his big eyes." My mom had changed. My mom was in a new season. I could have condemned my mom when I was in elementary school for not letting me watch Bill Cosby. But people, can I tell you, people can change. Seasons can change. You can change. I don't know how many of you guys have ever been in a point where you just felt stuck and maybe it was your fault. And you're like, I can never change. Yes, you can. You can change. I remember there was a point in my life where I thought, will I ever be off drugs? I didn't really go into my drug life earlier, but I was like addicted. I was like, maybe one day. I used to go to this church, not because I wanted to learn about Jesus, because they put a skateboard ramp in their sanctuary. And I went to this church and I would skate and people would come up and they would share stories. I used to be like this, but then I met Jesus and now I'm like this. I used to do this, then I met Jesus and now I do this. And they'd be like, and that's my testimony. I remember that word. That's my testimony. And in the back of my head, I thought, maybe one day I'll have a testimony. And I thought, nah, Christians are weird. They were weird. They were so nice. Like, weirdly nice. Like, why are you so nice? And now I am one. Oh, my gosh, what has happened? There must be a God. There has to be a God. So I just wanted to share with you guys this morning that no matter what season that you're in, if you're in a season where you think, I can't get out, I can't escape, there is no hope, that is a lie. Jesus is the hope of humanity. He loves you yesterday, he loves you today, and he will forever love you. Jesus didn't love me when I was pastor, quack. He didn't love me when I was, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he proved his love to us. He loved me at my worst. And I don't stand here before you in the best season of my life. I'm not even a pastor anymore. This is like a treat for me. I get to do this now. I take care of I have a profoundly autistic son. I take care of him full time. I get to be a husband to my wife, a father. to my daughter Jubilee, and then I have two grown sons. I have three grandchildren. It's crazy. The Bible is true. The path of the righteous really is like the dawning of the sun, the rising of the sun. It grows brighter and brighter until the full day. I can tell you that this season, the older I get, the better life gets, the better marriage gets, the better, more peace, more faith. It's not because I'm so holy. I don't stand before you as someone's because I'm holy, but it's because I have been so forgiven that Jesus, even though I could have been canceled like this adulterous woman, Jesus says, go and sin no more. He did not punish me for my sins. And I'm going to read one more scripture and then give it to, I don't know where to do afterwards. I'll give it to wherever. I'll say a prayer and then we'll give it to wherever. Romans 4, 7 and 8 says this. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. I'm so glad I'm in the Bible. I'm right here in this. I am those. That's who I am. And I pray that that would be who you are. And let me just pray for you this morning before I hand it over. Father, I thank you for everyone in this room. And I just pray, God, I thank you that your word goes forth and does not return void. I thank you, Lord, that you leave the 99 and you go after the one. And I pray for that one. I pray for everyone. But Lord, I thank you that you know them by name. I pray for their hearts this morning. I pray that you'd do a stirring in their heart. I pray that they would come to know your love, your goodness, and your faithfulness. I thank you for this great work that you're doing here on campus, the leaders that you have set in place. And I thank you that your spirit is here to minister to all. And so, Father, I pray for these young ones. I pray that they would know your love, experience your forgiveness, and hear your voice. Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys.